Now, according to new research, there's a huge clash in America's political landscape, and I'm not talking about the one between Republicans and Democrats. A pair of political science professors from Stony Brook University in New York found that the vast majority of Americans, about 80 to 85%, say they follow politics casually or not at all. Only 15 to 20% say they follow it closely. And those camps have different ideas about which issues are most important. And there might be more shared values among Americans than we might think. Yana Krupnikov is an associate professor of political science at Stony Brook University. She's a co-author, along with her colleague John Barry Ryan, of a forthcoming book about polarization and disengagement in American politics. Yana, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's interesting. From my perspective, the people I hear from, either as guests on the show or callers from the show, they are very engaged in following politics. It sounds like from your research, they are not the norm. Tell us about the people, what most people are doing when it comes to politics.
Yeah, so it absolutely makes sense that the people you would hear from on the show and your guest would in fact be the people for whom politics matters a lot. They're the people who are on social media. They're the people who are kind of reading the news every day, and there's so much news to read. But our research suggests that for a lot of Americans, on average, about 80%, that's not something that's happening. Now, these people know about the election. Mm-hmm. They know things that have been happening after the election. They might have been really excited to vote. They might have cared a lot. They're not necessarily following all the political details. They're not necessarily going on social media. They're not necessarily talking about politics all that much.
This might not matter, except that, again, from your research and others, it sounds like these 80% of people don't necessarily look at politics the same way the more engaged partisans do. And even, you know, the Democrats who don't pay attention as much aren't the same as Democrats who do. Same for Republicans. Why is this group of people different?
Well, they're different in a number of ways. So first, I think what's really important about them is that they have different issue positions. So they actually care about different things. People who care about politics a lot, for whom politics is very, very, very important, have this set of issues that are in some sense more ideological. Now, the other 80%, the ones who are voting but aren't paying quite as much attention to the day-to-day details, care about things like wages, for example. And so what we're seeing is that within parties, so within Democrats and within Republicans, there are these gaps between the 20% who pay a ton of attention and the 80% who aren't quite as involved. And so, of course, the implications here are, who are we listening to? Who has the most voice in American politics? Because that's going to affect representation.
Who does have the most voice in American politics?
Well, that's an interesting question, right? On the one hand, we can think of people who turn out to vote as having voice. People who waited for hours to turn out, sometimes in states that made it very difficult for them to vote, made their voices heard in that way. But we can think of voice in another way as well. When journalists report on politics, who are they covering? When somebody takes to Twitter to make their political opinion heard, whose opinion is actually going to end up in media coverage? And more likely than not, kind of these examples of politics, these people whose social media opinions are going to get picked up, are the people who are really, really, really involved in politics. So when somebody checks the news, when somebody reads about partisan politics, the images they're seeing are the images of people who care the most, who also happen to be the most ardent partisans. So when we think about politics, we think of the people who are most involved rather than the 80% who have genuine political preferences, but just maybe less likely to express them.
If I'm one of those people who's, you know, not paying close attention to politics, it doesn't mean I'm not, you know, maybe on one side or another. It doesn't mean I'm a moderate. But through my eyes, what do those more extreme groups that are heavily represented in our media and politics, what do they look like to me as far as what we know from the people in that category?
Well, we've done some research on this. And what those people look like is, first, they look like people who talk a lot about politics. In fact, when people think about partisans, the images that come to their minds are people who basically are endlessly discussing political topics. The second thing is that they look like people who are extraordinarily ideological. So they look like somebody who has very extreme opinions. They look like somebody who is on kind of the tail ends of the Democratic and Republican parties. And so even if almost everyone you encounter in your actual day-to-day lives isn't really talking about politics that much, they're not posting about politics on social media, they have qualms about maybe both parties, when you imagine a partisan, you're imagining the partisans on your television, right? The people who are basically on the screen saying that, you know, they're not going to accept the election no matter what, for example, on the Republican side. Because these people often get the interviews, that's who ends up coming to mind when we think about political outcomes.
We're talking to Yana Krupnikov from Stony Brook University. She's co-author of a piece on how much attention we pay to American politics, a big divide between partisans on both sides who spend a lot of time eating, drinking, and breathing politics, and the majority who have a more passing and distant and maybe healthy interest in the way they view politics. Yana, what do you think of that idea? It sounds kind of nice, taking a break from watching politics all the time. I can't do it. You can't do it. But it sounds kind of nice, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, there are certainly times when I wish I could do it. And then I remember my job. In that sense, right, I think it's important to remember that for a lot of people, politics is not going to come up into their day-to-day lives. They're not going to see it on their social media feeds. They're not necessarily going to talk about it with their family members. They're not necessarily going to talk about it with their friends. Those people who are going to talk about it are going to talk about it a lot. They're going to follow it very closely. Is this healthy? It kind of depends, right? On the one hand, we need these people who are deeply engaged in politics to in some sense, pull fire alarms for us, right? To say, like, now we got to pay extra attention. On the other hand, there is a tremendous sense of anxiety that goes into these people's day-to-day lives. Following politics on a minute-by-minute basis is immensely stressful. It is anxiety-provoking. And the flip side of that is that it's also anxiety-provoking when you can't follow politics because you imagine that something must be happening. So politics means a lot of anxiety for a lot of people.
We talked about how the people who pay more attention and end up being more ideological and partisan are often overrepresented in the media. How about for politicians? If I'm a member of Congress, say, which I'm not and I won't be, but if I were, there's a lot of people out there posting daily, writing me, maybe even calling my office, analyzing my every move on my own side. And then there's a big group who aren't doing that. Their views are different. Am I going to be skewed? Am I going to be pushed in a direction just based on that overrepresentation of this 15-20% of my constituents?
I think there is some danger of that. If we think about the way that people gather information, there is the possibility that we start to treat the information that is most readily available to us, which is the opinions of people who care the most, as the indication of how everyone feels. And so you start to imagine that these people who are the most vocal, who are the loudest, who kind of talk about politics the most, that they are actually speaking for everyone else. And once you imagine that, there is the chance that you end up trying to represent these views, not actually realizing that they are perhaps different from the remainder of your constituents.
So supposing we agree that this is a problem, how can we in the media and I guess political parties and political representatives make sure that they don't ignore this large majority of people who maybe aren't speaking as loudly on a day-to-day basis?
Well, first of all, you know, I want to say that I think a lot of journalists have done a fairly tremendous job covering an immensely difficult time in American politics. So I think a lot of journalists are, in fact, very much mindful of these differences in public opinion. Now, I think another thing that you kind of have to think about is that the people who are most extreme, who are most vocal, are the ones who sometimes make for the best story. They're the ones that are going to give the quote that is most interesting. And so I think one thing to remember is in kind of looking for this personalization and looking for these examples, that they might not necessarily speak to the bulk of political voices. And another thing I think to remember is that in giving somebody a platform, they're in fact being elevated, right? They're now speaking and representing a group of people who may not necessarily be pleased with their representation. In fact, I'm part of a group of political scientists who kind of has suggested some points for journalists in covering elections. And one of the ideas is not to elevate voices who are extreme. We hear about these extreme people and the tendency is to exemplify them through a particular person, because that is more interesting than just covering polling data. But I think it's important to remember that in covering that extreme voice, you've now given it a much larger platform than this voice would have had otherwise.
Jana, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jana Krupnikov is an associate professor of political science at Stony Brook University. She's co-author of a forthcoming book about polarization and disengagement in American politics. We talked with her about what she calls America's attention divide between those who follow politics casually at most and those who follow it closely.